When you wake up in the morning and check your phone, does it feel like this or like this? Because with Shopify, your morning can feel like this way more often. That's the sound of a sale being made on your new Shopify store. And while client payments may require weeks or months of work, you can start generating a semi-passive income to grow your business by setting up a Shopify store all of your own. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your latest designs on shirts or bags or adding something totally different to your business, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. You can sell online, you can sell in person, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. With Shopify, you can set up your store in minutes and start selling immediately. And Shopify's award-winning support is there to help you as you go. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/freelance. That's all lowercase. That's shopify.com/freelance to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/freelance, or click the link in our show description and start waking up to this. Whether you want to travel more or communicate better with international clients, you need to try Babbel. I've used Babbel's courses, and you can do the same in order to learn real-life conversation skills in a different language, order food, ask for directions, or speak to clients without having to use translation apps. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for our listeners at babbel.com/freelance. That's 60% off at babbel.com/freelance, spelled Babbel.com/freelance. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Brandon Hull, and this is Freelance to Founder.
And that's literally how I started making money, was changing my ideal client. We could talk about it. And I realized, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to, you know, sell a $197 session over and over again to do this. And it was just so much work hitting the ground, marketing it. And I'm like, what if I just found somebody who's willing to pay me? It was really that kind of conversation with myself. What if I found somebody who'd be willing to pay me $4,000 a month?
Brought to you by Millo.co and the Podglomerate Podcast Network. This is the show where we learn from entrepreneurs who understand focus and scale. They started off as solo practitioners, developers, designers, product marketers, or creatives, and found out how to grow something to be bigger than themselves. You get to hear the details of what they did, how they did it, and what decisions were the hardest to make along the way. This is episode number 50, and why I tell you that, I don't know, other than that's what we podcasters do. Most importantly, it's the Allie Smith episode. You will love this episode if you can relate to any of the following situations. Number one, you were once in a corporate role and felt stifled. Number two, you were once in a corporate role and felt like you had numerous additional talents that weren't being put to use. Number three, you've got multiple interests, not just one thing, even if you have jumped out on your own already. And number four, you wonder if you can turn things around in as soon as 1 year. You're going to hear how Allie Smith turned those four things into a creative lifestyle that brings her well into the six figures, but also includes multiple revenue streams. I caught up with her in the middle of her typical busy routine at a co-working facility in Boise, Idaho. And with that, let's get to Allie.
Thanks for having me, Brandon. I'm so excited to be here today.
After a lot of back and forth and juggling of schedules, it's good that we're finally able to talk live. It sounds like you found a decent place to call home for the next hour or so while we talk.
I'm in a cozy corner of a co-working facility surrounded by awesome entrepreneurs right now. So I'm in the perfect place.
In beautiful Boise, Idaho. Well, so I'm excited to have you on because this is going to be a unique conversation because we're going to talk about two brands today that Allie has been involved, that you've been involved in building. And I want to start with the present day with one in particular, and that is Creative Gangsters. And then we're going to kind of walk through a little bit for listeners to learn how Creative Gangsters turned into another opportunity that you have now, that you're balancing as far as another business. But I want to talk with Creative Gangsters first and foremost. Can you share with listeners where Creative Gangsters is today? And then we'll go back in time, to get a feel for where things got started.
That sounds great. Okay. So Creative Gangsters is voice and visuals, as I like to call it, but mainly I do copywriting. So done for you, high-end premium retainer clients. So starting at $3,000 to $4,000 a month. People don't want an employee, and I don't really want to be an employee, but they trust me with their voice. And interestingly enough, both of my big retainer clients are writers themselves. So I write for writers. I'm able to match their voice. And it went from zero, as we'll talk about in a little bit, as a stay-at-home mom, to six figures within 15 months.
15 months. That's almost unheard of, especially when you're talking about a higher-end client. What's an example of a higher-end client?
It's just someone who's willing to pay $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a month just to have me handle it, just to take it and trust. There's a big element of trust. And there's also high volume of copy. So someone appreciates great copy too. Yeah, I'm not competing with anybody on Fiverr or Upwork. Not that there's not great opportunities there, but it's just a different clientele and someone who's just like, I just want to pay to get it done right the first time.
Not your audience. The audience that's booming the profiles on Fiverr is not who you're looking to attract.
And that's literally how I started making money, was changing my ideal client. We could talk about it. And I realized, I'm like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to, you know, sell a $197 session over and over again to do this. And it was just so much work hitting the ground, marketing it. And I'm like, what if I just found somebody who's willing to pay me? It was really that kind of conversation with myself. What if I found somebody who'd be willing to pay me $3,000, $4,000 a month? So they don't have to have me on staff. And just like that, within two weeks, I had two clients.
That's great now, but 16 months ago, what were you doing to kick things off? What were the ideas percolating in your mind?
the painful 16 months.
Yeah. How did this happen?
2 years ago was quite painful, actually. So that's funny. I discovered Instagram. I love visuals. It wasn't always the case. And I kind of made it big with one of my Instagram accounts at the time, big as being very relative. And I started having opportunities and I thought, I'm going to be an influencer. This is going to be the new game. And then the algorithm changed, like we all joke about it, but it really did. And so you couldn't get, it was pay to play, Facebook bought them. And so suddenly I was like, I need a plan B here. And I've always been into writing. I have my bachelor's degree is in writing, but then I was a stay-at-home mom. You know, I worked at Pottery Barn, I taught yoga, but was I a corporate person? No. Although I did have a corporate job we could talk about a little bit later that I hated, which great experience. So I found a mentor. I went out to New York. I attended a weekend workshop and I realized I had to get clear on how I was going to make money. Like I had no idea with my skill set, you know, being smart doesn't translate into money at all until you have a plan. And so one of their suggestions was start talking to people. So I opened it up in a Facebook group of almost 10,000 people. I had permission. You know, you don't want to go in and self-promo and spam people and say, I have permission. I want to get on a 1 hour call with you for free. And get clear, and we'll help you get clarity on messaging, on your business, on something. Because I did have enough experience growing these Instagram accounts over and over again for people.
Did you leverage the fact that you had this past background in creating content to attract followers via Instagram? Because it sounds like you didn't even necessarily have, you haven't made reference to having some sort of portfolio site of your capabilities and your writing abilities and that sort of thing. So what did you have as an asset that might make people feel confident that they should reach out to you?
Good point. Okay. So I did have grow several Instagram accounts and I did a lot of it for free for friends, you know, with their businesses, not personal accounts, like their business accounts. So I knew about content creation. And also in this Facebook group, which anybody should do, is I made myself known as being helpful, smart, you know, smart comments. I don't want to use the word teacher's pet, but active. I cared about it. I wanted to be there. So my reputation got there. And then I have this master's degree, which I got and then ended up staying home afterward for a while. But I have a degree, a master's of science from Boise State University in instructional and performance technology, which is a fancy organizational workplace learning. So it's corporate training, a big scale and performance improvement. And then what did I do with that? I stayed home. I engineered my children to be more higher performance. So that gives street cred, just having an advanced degree like that. And I think a lot of that helped. And people were just willing to get on the phone with me. I think people who are earlier on in building audiences were like, well, she's got something to say. She's ahead of the game a little bit. And so those people, for 2 months, I did free calls. I would just get on the phone with people. And I had a lot of people. One person who had an MBA, who was one of the managers, called me up one day and said, hey, I've heard you've been doing a lot of these calls. We want to brainstorm with you. We want to pick your brain. It was literally just, they were sitting in a room. Let's call Allie. Got in a call. And at the end of that, he says, that was worth more than $500.
How did you know what to talk about with these people? But this is, since you just threw the offer out after being active in the group, how did you know how to conduct this call to sort of explore what the opportunity was for you, financially, but also know creatively what it was they were trying to accomplish. What made you feel confident that you knew how to conduct those calls like that?
I did not. I was not confident. I was terrified. I was such an introvert. But there was that push come to shove when, you know, you've got a spouse at home saying, well, when are you going to start making money? You get on the phone and do the uncomfortable thing. I don't know if anybody else listening has been there before. Or you have someone who's just like, isn't it time? We've been doing this for a while. Like, figure out what you're going to do. So I got on these calls. And what I realized was what everybody said was, I got clear on my messaging. You were able to find out how to talk to this person I'm trying to sell to over and over again. So I didn't realize that that was a thing. Like, oh, can people pay me for helping them figure out what they do and who they sell to? Because that didn't sound like a real job to me. It didn't sound like something somebody would pay for. And ultimately, that became more than even copywriting is messaging. Like, I'm able to hear what you're trying to say and what you should be saying it, and then frame it in terms of transformation. Like, I help so-and-so do this so that XYZ.
Did you just trust your ability to ask the right questions and sort of read between the lines on what somebody felt like they needed, even if they couldn't articulate it well? And then maybe with that, figure out a way that you could help them out with copywriting or.
So what I did at first was I didn't know what I was doing. Like literally, like I hadn't even read about how to conduct a strategy call necessarily. Like I will talk, if later on, I can tell you briefly about a job I had for a year and a half where I did learn a lot of skills, like working for a PhD who taught other PhDs marketing. And so that's also the point that I forgot before that gave me my street cred of internet business. So I did learn some internet marketing there, but it was hard. It's a hard job. So I took that skill of, I'm just going to walk you through asking questions. All I did was ask questions and then say back to them. So what I hear you saying is, you do this, but have you thought about that? And because I was offering it for free, I framed it in such a way of I'm just gathering information and trying to figure out what I can offer. Would you be willing to get on a 1-hour call? You'll leave with three, you know, my perspective, maybe some ideas for your Instagram and your voice. So they got out of it. And what happened was almost every single person unsolicited began posting in these Facebook groups. Talk to Allie. She helped with this. And the fact that it was free for a while, if everybody else wanted to do it. And then after a while, I'm like, I can't do this for free. What do I do? It's $97, which at the time was like 0 to 97 is a lot.
This is incredible. So you've gone from stay-at-home mom who's got ample background and creative chops from a, I guess you can call it a portfolio standpoint, but you're not doing anything with those 15, 16 months ago, to running strategy calls with people who have marketing challenges and see you as the go-to expert. And that ultimately gets you to where you are today, which is well into the six figures just 15 months later, which seems astounding to me. So let's go further back in time here, maybe than the 15 months and maybe the younger Allie Smith. Is this something that you pictured for yourself at some point in time in your career when you were a child? Is this something that we should have seen coming in Allie as a youngster? Did you have these sort of this sort of creative energy running through you, and someday you wanted to be a writer, you wanted to do something visual? What did you have in mind for yourself?
Visuals was a new, like, newfound love at 37, and that was exciting. I did art in high school, but that then left everything. I wanted to be an English teacher or a writer. And I wanted to be a fiction writer, you know, write the great American novel. And it was going to be easy, right? And so I actually did. I wrote a children's book. I wasn't very good. And so I just decided I suck at writing. I didn't know marketing writing existed until 2.5 years ago, probably, or 3 years ago. I didn't know that was a thing, really. I didn't know. I never studied formally marketing and advertising. I studied different kinds of writing. And it was like, this is the most fun thing I've ever done. And I get paid for it. Well, because it's like I get to sit here and think of slogans and taglines and ways of framing it, and other people makes them sick. They're like, I would rather die than do that. That sounds terrible.
But even the earliest years, like this, so this didn't even occur to you that you would be doing anything like this early on. You just, I'll be a writer. I'll do something along those lines.
I had this lonely, romantic image of writing. You know, probably get a typewriter in a room, and being New York Times bestseller. Life didn't work out that way. Or being an English teacher because I love kids is the other thing. And then after I had kids, I realized I didn't want to have kids. I didn't want to teach kids.
So whether it was a personal life moment or professional, When did you have your first aha moment that this is the path I'm heading down and it's not the right one for me? This is not where what I should be doing with my life. When did that happen?
That happened, stay-at-home mom, which, you know, was wonderful. It's great. I still have a flexible schedule and I'm there for my kids after school. It's important to me. But I was like, I have to do something with this brain. I can't sit here and there's more to this. And that was in my late 30s, I think. And then also when I started doing the Instagram, I realized I need to go deeper with this too. Like not just creating content. I need to make an impact and actually help people. Over and over, I started teaching it. No matter every coffee date I'd been on for the last 5 years, I started teaching. Oh, let me show you Instagram. Oh, you're not using it? Oh, what about you change your bio? Did you know this? And so that led into the coaching capacity and also with Beta and Beyond. Is we're teaching, we're sharing, we're educating.
But what about those? What about your 20s? What were you doing during your 20s that were that maybe the gears were turning that you were not satisfied with what was happening?
Oh, that's okay. So that's a mindset issue. And I know a lot of women have been there, becoming administrative assistants, becoming secretaries, because you don't see yourself in the role. You didn't have any role models who were the presidents, who were the founders. So yeah, I was an admin assistant, way below my capabilities. Not that that's great. I love admins. I need one. been there, but think, you know, being jealous of people who were performing and succeeding, but being stuck, seemingly stuck at a low level. So I think that was the point where I'm going to get my master's, even though we had mentioned before we started recording, I dropped out of college 3 times because I can't stand sitting in a classroom with somebody telling me what to do or telling me homework that doesn't interest me. So it was kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get a master's degree. Graduated top of my class, by the way, and pregnant, and then graduate assistant, and then overseas at a university there, which I think is pretty cool. But at the same time, I did it just for me. Didn't do it for anybody else.
You know, working from home is mostly great, but there are some days when I realize I haven't left my house or even my chair like all day. Have you been there? Getting outside to exercise or making a trip to the gym are just harder now that my office is just a flight of stairs away. If you're stuck in the same rut as me, then you should try Hydro. That's Hydrow. With the Hydro Rower and 20 minutes a day, getting a full body workout is so much easier. Hydro can work up to 86% of your muscles in just 20 minutes for an insane effective home workout. That's because Hydro pairs the effectiveness of rowing with the power of technology to connect you with over 5,000 video trainings, classes, and workouts. And get ready to get out from behind your home desk, because after a few months of daily rowing with Hydro, your partner's going to want to take you out for a night on the town to show you off. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use code freelance to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydrow.com and promo code freelance to save $400. Hydro.com, promo code freelance, or just click the link in our show description. Have you ever noticed that many of the problems people call in with on this show can be solved by hiring someone? Sometimes you need a full-fledged team, other times maybe just a simple assistant or an expert in something you're not great at. Whatever your reason for hiring, we recommend you take a look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. As you may know already, LinkedIn has a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn Jobs makes the process of finding the perfect teammate easy and intuitive. Hiring is always easy when you have access to so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours when using LinkedIn Jobs. I've used it myself, and it was so simple. In fact, I've made multiple hires using LinkedIn Jobs. And did I mention, by the way, it's free to business owners like me and you. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/freelance. That's linkedin.com/freelance to post your job for free, or click the link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply.
I've talked to so many people on this show who would go down the path of getting their degree and realize maybe they started a business while they were in school, but they would realize that that sort of structured learning environment was not a good place for them, either because the business was doing a side business that they started when they were young was already doing well, or they just felt like that sort of environment was too structured, too rigid, too confining, too formal. And it seems like the for many people, the wheels start turning then that this is not the life I'm supposed to be living professionally. Would you say that that's kind of
Yeah. So after I graduated, I had this new baby too. And my husband were like, well, I'm like, I have to work. I just felt it. Like I love my baby. So I went to work for a Fortune 500 as a contractor company for a year and a half. A year later, I was the last person left on the team. We all started the same day. Plus two more people had joined and quit. It was just this grind that was horrible. And I just thought, I cannot work in this environment. I don't care if I can't do it. So finally I left, and that's when I stayed home for a while. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just be here. And I didn't realize that the internet was available, like this internet business things. This was 13 years ago.
Wasn't an option as a career path, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't make a living teaching. So what I've done is taken this, it's ironic because I thought my English degree would be, you know, lame, never used again. And my master's degree, I thought, well, that's technical. I'll never use that again outside of the corporate setting. And now I use both. I know how to teach people, how to motivate people while I tapping into English and literature and turning that into narratives, into stories that sell. So, which I think is kind of fun. I'm like, hey, look, I didn't waste all that time and money. I actually get to use it.
Your English degree wasn't going to be just for teaching. Like so many people think that English degree, I'm an English degree person myself.
Are you?
And, yep. So many people think that that's the only route you can go with it. And I actually feel like it's a great foundational degree to unlock opportunities that are maybe more specific, but it's a great foundational degree because the communication skills you learn with it, I don't know, the skills that you learn to sort of hone your thinking, focus your thinking, I think are valuable ones that apply in so many different disciplines.
What I learned, I think the big takeaways are how to break down what I've read into components and into meaning, and also to write when you don't feel like writing. I think that's an important skill. There's so much writing to do as an entrepreneur. Even if you turn it into a video or a script or talking, it's still you're creating content, and it all has to come from the same place of either outlining or writing or getting your ideas on paper. That's so valuable. Everyone should take a writing class.
So when did you turn your back officially, or maybe not officially, but once and for all on the corporate world? When did you realize I'm walking out for the last time? There's a new me that's coming.
I would say when I decided I wanted to go back to work. I had been home for maybe 6 years, just, you know, side jobs here and there, but not in a professional environment. Oh, okay. Yes, I know exactly what it was. I went back to the same Fortune 500 company where I had been out for a long time, and it was a brutal interview. I just left. I felt like crying. They were just ripped. It was a whole panel of angry people who were, they were having a miserable team, and they wanted to bring on an additional writer. And I'd be writing things for printers and software. So, I mean, it was going to be soul sucking, and I knew it, but I'm ready to make an income. And I left, and I was just like, I feel sick to my stomach. They hated me. And then they called and offered me the job. And what the manager said was, we think you'd bring some much needed positive energy to this negative environment. And I'm like, oh, I just said, no, I said, I can't. Thank you so much. I can't accept this job. I'm not going back into this. I don't care if it was, you know, $100,000.
When was this?
That was not that long ago. It feels like 6 years.
Well, that feels like a little ways ago. Because it then took several years for you to ultimately get going with Creative Gangsters. So what was happening during the 4-year interim since you were ready to go back to work and you had been dabbling in side stuff?
Found myself a job on Craigslist, which is always ends happily ever after, right? But it was meant to be. Like, so I just thought this job ad was just written so beautifully. I'm like, who could write that? And so I responded not thinking I would get it. I'm just like, here's where it is. This is where I'm at. I need to go back to work. Nobody will hire me. You know, that's always good to say in your, you know, your letter. And they interviewed, she had like 63 applicants interviewed, two hired me. And so what they did is they, she was a PhD who taught other PhDs how to write grants better and how to treat it, their labs like marketing. So teaching scientists these principles. And that's where was my crash course in internet marketing. It was about a year and a half. It was intense. I finally ended up leaving, and I was just like, this is not a healthy environment for me, but that's where I learned it. And I thought, oh, maybe I can do this. And that was my eye-opening moment, is that the internet exists and people are making money.
It sounds like that one of the threads that I see, as you've described yourself in the past, is that there, while you have done the work you've been called upon to do, there's always been this part of you that's evaluated the environment you're in and the people you're doing it with and kind of felt like, I think I could do that, though, maybe as well as or better than the person I'm learning it from, as opposed to doing the work for them. I could be doing that part. Is that the case?
I think so. And I, you know, trying to be a good employee.
Yeah, that's right.
It's hard. I mean, I realize that maybe I'm not a good employee, but I'm a great partner. I'm a great peer, great person to have on your team. And that's, if we fast forward just a little bit to where I started working with this, my mentor, you know, we started off at just, you know, here's a few $100 a month to do this thing that you're already doing. Let me pay you, compensate you for your time. Growing to somebody recognizes, I don't want to hire you on my team. I want you to be part of the team. And to me, when I heard that, it was like, that's what I realized I always wanted, you know, a seat at the table, to, you know, in meaningful work to participate. And I would take less money for that. Or, you know what I mean? That's so meaningful and important. That's the most important thing. Who you work with, what kind of work you do, and also where I get to do it. I'm in a co-working facility and I get to pick up my kids from the bus stop. So like, that's worth to me more than anything.
So I know about your mentor, but I don't think our listeners know about your mentor yet. So let's introduce that. Creative Gangsters is your thing. And you started that, let's call it 2 years ago, even though it wasn't even 2 years ago. And meanwhile, you've got a mentor that you've started up this second business with that we alluded to at the beginning, but haven't introduced fully. I think you've dropped the name a couple of times. Talk to us about how you got introduced to your mentor, when that happened, and the business that you've now started together.
Awesome. Yes, I'd love to. So I think a lot of people can relate to this. You're at the kitchen table with your laptop or your computer, and you're on Pinterest Googling internet marketing, how to become a blogger, how to turn a blog into a business. And two names kept popping up on Pinterest over and over again. There was like two people in the industry. And one of them was, it was a company called buyregina.com. And that's Regina Nagino. And I just started studying with her or just reading her free stuff. It was epic free content that I was like, who does this for free? I mean, it was beautifully done. Found her Facebook group. When I finally, I was pretty cheap at the time too. I wasn't making any money. So it's hard to invest when you make nothing, you know, when you're a stay-at-home mom. And finally, there was an opportunity to go for a long weekend in New York City with her and her business partner and her brother, who's a lawyer. And I thought, I need to go. I want to learn in person. I'm just going to skip to the front of the line. And so I flew out there.
Wait a minute. Was that hard to convince your husband to do that?
Yes. But there's also a point of, I'm doing this. And there's a point where if your spouse says, I'm doing this, you're like, okay. You know, like, so there's a little bit of that too. There was some confidence behind it. I was just like, I need to do this. I don't know why. I just need to be there. So I went, and then you make these in-person connections. And I'm really good friends with all three of them today. And it wasn't magic. It was just like, I was there to learn. I was just there to connect in person. And then ever since then, it was like, they knew me. Hey, Allie, you can go ahead and make your offer, that free offer I made in our Facebook group. And it started there. Like, yeah, we trust you. We've met you. And I also gained crazy skills for Instagram and other things during that weekend. So I do recommend to anybody who's wants to go closer to founder or to invest in your freelance, go to those in-person small conferences, the intimate weekend workshops, the masterminds. I think a big conference with 1,000 people, to me, that's not going to do anything to me. And that's going to feel like school, but those intimate experiences can change your life.
So you went to visit with her because you had Creative Gangsters in mind. Is that why?
No, I didn't even have it. This is before that. It was a year before that. I knew it was going to be something. So at the time I was building this Instagram account, which was starting to make a little bit of money, just a little bit. It's since I've leveraged it to other things at this point. And that's my travel. That's my personal brand, my travel account. And then Creative Gangsters is just work. And I have another one that's just about food. I need to pare back to less of them. Yeah.
Okay. So she was a mentor to you to get started, focus your efforts, to do things on your own, and to build a business, to understand how to do it, how to not just have these sort of channels or platforms that were good for branding purposes, but to translate them into business purposes as well. That was your reason that you connected with Regina, right?
Yeah. And then there was like, I wouldn't say it was a hard conversation, but it was a challenging conversation of, okay, you're too smart to not be making money. They're like looking at what's your business model? Like, you need to start offering services. And that was the shift, because when you first get into the internet land and there's all this money to be made, you're thinking, I'm just going to be an infopreneur. I can just create an ebook and I'm going to make six figures on my launch kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of idealism around that, and it's not the case. And so when it came down to it, I was like, okay, I have my ebooks. I have my $8 this. I'm going to need to provide some heavy duty services, which is not what I wanted to do at first, because it takes, you know, it's one-on-one. You get paid for your time and it's hands-on. But once I decided to do that, oh, that's when it shifted. In the long range, I'll have info products and then passive income and can leverage that. But in the short term, it was like, wow, okay, I can make six figures doing this. Let's do that.
That's pretty interesting. So you got a short-term masterclass in how to get moving quickly with services, and the idea of having info products or something like that that could be sold, you know, 24/7, all that good story, was a secondary opportunity that you pursued. Is that safe to say?
Well, I wanted to do it first, but in order to make any money, you need a large audience. You need fresh eyes coming in. And so I had been done all this audience building, which is a long game, you know, and trying to connect with people. And finally, it was like, you need to make money now. If you want to make money today, you offer a service to somebody and you charge a premium price and you make sure they have a premium experience with you. That in my opinion, for what I do.
That's a great insight. I think there's a lot of people who rush to, or they see the blogging world, or excuse me, they'll see the blogging world. They'll see people that are doing really well with digital products, with maybe online courses, and rush to do one of those versus build an audience, serve a community first, and then get revenue in, provide an actual tangible service that people will pay for. And you can have sort of a lead generator, you know, build the audience while offering that service. But the idea of rushing to a product or a course or something, maybe, at least it was in your case, a misnomer. And it might be, you might need to change the order on those things, it sounds like.
Because what if it fails, you might mistakenly think, A, I'm a failure, I shouldn't be doing this, or B, this product is a failure. And maybe neither. Maybe you just needed more time to have an audience or to refine it. And also, when you have that steady revenue, just if you're offering services, it takes all that pressure off. Suddenly, I mean, maybe you have less time. That you do. You have less time. But suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have to stress about selling 500 copies of my whatever ebook or my course. And then you can build that and they become known for it. So that's been a great lesson.
Were you worried that with the social channel work that you'd done, with the Instagram influencer work that you had done, were you worried right before you reached out and took the plunge in going to New York with Regina? Were you worried that that was what was happening to you? Was that you were running too scattershot and it was just going to all fail, even though you had a pretty nice following, you were starting to figure out Instagram a little bit? Were you worried that it was still
at that time? I thought that was going to be the big thing. I thought I was just going to explode it and it was going to be my main source of revenue. But when I was there, I started learning about all these other avenues and things to consider. Like, that's not a business model either. And the other important thing is you don't own that platform. That's the most important thing, meaning that's not your email list. Yeah, the rules did change and they changed for everybody. And so that was a big wake-up call. Suddenly it's pay to play, as it should be. I mean, they have bills to pay. But then I had to have a plan B, which turned out to be better than I could have imagined, better than plan A.
Plan B surpassed plan A. And plan B, can we call plan B creative gangsters to begin with? But also,
yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about creative gangsters. And we talked a little bit about what you did early on to reach out to people and to start to grow things. Was there a point though, where that one group, or maybe there were a couple of few groups, where you hit a wall at all? Mm-hmm. Where things weren't quite as easy to come by? It sounds like an amazing run for just 15 months in, but surely there had to be a point where the initial outreach tactics, like using that Facebook group, weren't sufficient.
Absolutely.
It's been a, or it's been a rocket launch ever since, and it's been great ever since then. You've never had any adversity at all.
It's been a miracle every day. No, of course there's reality checks along the way. And one of them was, you're hustling, like getting money here and there is, you know, I went from $97 to $197 sessions, made them a little longer. Still didn't know what I was doing. I had never been a freelancer before. You know, I had written magazine articles here and there, but that's different than creating a process where somebody gets on a Zoom call and gets deliverables. I had never done that. And then what happened was an entrepreneur, I had actually connected with him. He was a podcast guest. And so I had commented and we connected on Instagram, because that's a side note, is how I teach Instagram is like a fun LinkedIn. Don't use it. You know, it's not just a magazine. You're not publishing and leaving. You got to be there and interact and just show a little bit more personality. He reached out and said, "Hey, do you have anything on Instagram besides your $8 ebook?" And I was like, "Well, I mean, because that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to sell these passive income products." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, we can get on the phone." And then I learned on that call, that was the game changer. And I'll tell you why. Because he brought his assistant, and I realized, oh, people who can really pay me for copywriting or taking over Instagram in a big way, or they're not going to do it themselves. They're not going to attend a 2-hour masterclass. They're not going to read an $8 ebook. They want to just skip to the front of the line, and they're going to bring their assistant. So they need a recording of it, and they need like a pass off factor. So what we call it, to their assistant to manage it. And so I had to think about it in different terms. I'm like, they either want me to completely do it for them, or they want to make me or have it packaged so that their team can do it.
Which sounds good. But how did you know how to find those people? Because this is still such a young and new industry, this idea of online marketing, online businesses, that there's no directory that you can just go to and dial up, you know, the email addresses for all of the online marketers that are out there. There's no SIC code for any of that sort of thing. So how did you know how to attract that audience?
So I think I got really good and my own message of this is who I do. I just started putting it out there. So I want to take over the voice and visuals for multiple 6-figure or 7-figure entrepreneurs. And I just started saying that over and over again. And it happened fast, because that's a very small market, you know, and one of them was networking lunch in person. You know, it's hard to say I got an internet job in person. And then I had gone to New York to meet an internet person in person. And so both of those had the actual human connection. So if you're not meeting in person, you got to get on Zoom calls. You got to be on Facebook Lives, because people connect with people. And as soon as I said, this is what I do, and hey, look, here's my portfolio. I still don't even have like a written portfolio that I share with people. I'm like, I'd rather do a project for you for free and blow you out of the water. Like, I'm confident enough. So I'd be like, hey, yeah, let me do something for a month. For just, you know, maybe not even a discount, but just give me a small project, and then you'll come back and you'll be like, how can we work together?
So you sort of bridge the online with the offline a little bit to make a more of a human connection with people, for sure. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, do you interact with enough freelancers? I'll loosely call them freelancers today, people who dabble in online marketing or internet businesses today, or on the side, to know that that's still a problem, that people don't make that connection, that they trust that all the digital channels are sufficient? What have you learned about that?
It's a huge problem. And that's something we're trying to teach, because it was a misconception that I had at first too, that it would just be like anonymous traffic coming in. And yeah, we absolutely get leads, and you know how to drive leads to your lead magnet or directly to a paid offer. But more often than not, when you're getting started, it's word of mouth. It's connecting in person. It's 10 phone calls a week, or, you know, it's surprising. I think the more anonymous the internet gets, the more important talking to a human and seeing a person is, and establishing trust and rapport.
Do you think it will always be that way?
I think it'll get more so. I mean, as the more we go towards AI and more digital, I think the more I'm going to see, are you an actual human? Are you a scammer? I want to see who you're connected to. I think it's definitely more actually social.
Yeah. So Creative Gangsters is doing well. It's starting to grow in terms of the value, the size of the packages that you work with people on, and things seem to be humming along. I'm assuming that Regina, during this early first 6 months or so, is still a business mentor to you, guiding you through the process.
And a client.
And a client. But then something happens where she's not just a client any longer. And we've hinted to it now a few times. So let's talk about the second brand that has emerged that's now an important part of your income and a part of your life. Even sounds like you have a unique relationship with Regina now as a former business mentor, then a client, and now a partner. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So she had had By Regina, just a thriving, successful business, and then realized she wanted to do something different, something new, which is teaching with signature events. She's known for her online teaching and wanted to create something around that. And I was helping. I was, one of my full-time clients. I was doing a lot of, writing and other kinds of administrative backend, like the higher end backend stuff. And then at the end of last summer was, I was thinking, I'm always like, oh, they're going to fire me, or they don't want me, or they're going to let me go. And it was, I think that's just part of growing up, never being quite sure what you're doing. And then she was like, I think I want to share this project with you. Or what I heard was project. I'm going to split the revenue on this project we were launching. And I was like, that sounds great. And I was super confident because I'm like, yeah, I totally. And then what she meant was, I want to split this business with you. And I was just like, what? It's a huge honor. And it's what I would do without getting paid. I love what we do so much.
So you've got a person that you looked up to so much, say a year previous to this, who you are tracking down in order to learn from them, who has now come full circle and invited you in as a partner in a new business.
Yeah.
Emotionally, you must feel like, I think I'm starting to figure this out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And my spouse too. My husband's like, you were right. Maybe you know what you're doing a little bit. I'm like,
I should have been more patient with you. He's thinking, right?
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're doing right. You're doing all right, lady.
So it's a different thing though. It's a different thing though, to have her as a client than to now be a partners, because now your interactions are not about the production of work. It's about priorities. It's about vision. It's about direction. And it's about activities that are not just creative production oriented. How has balancing these two businesses now been for you to have Creative Gangsters that you want to continue to grow, but to also have your business with Regina and you want it to grow, and it's an entirely different thing. How has that been for you to balance what activities consume your time?
It's pretty, that's a challenge. Figuring like, how do I want a waiting list on Creative Gangsters? Cause I'm out of time. I don't have any more time in my day. I have, two children. Plus I always have a foreign exchange student. Like, we got a lot of chaos going on at home, just keeping the kids juggled. Figuring out what can I start? I think the next thing for Creative Gangsters will be a group coaching program, so I can leverage it and teach people how to be their own copywriters for entrepreneurs, for Beta and Beyond with Regina. That will continue to grow and scale what we do there through masterclasses and teaching. And it's been a shift going from, not being an employee, but she was a client, to becoming a partner. It's me learning how to communicate and how to say, well, how about this? And having a little bit more of a voice. And yeah, it's different. You have to start thinking about activities from the higher level, not waiting for anybody to give you something to do. It's not like that anymore. And that's a totally, I learned that as an entrepreneur for Creative Gangsters, but it's different when you're in a partnership too. Because you're like, how do I bring something to the table?
So it Beta and Beyond has grown rapidly enough that it's now half your income, is that right? Half your revenue or income personally? That's pretty fascinating. As you look ahead to the next 2 or 3 years, what will change? What do you, maybe 2 or 3 years is too long, the next year or two, what do you think will change about your personal routine and your priorities so that you can adequately scale and still be an important integral part of both of these businesses? How can you divide and conquer in the future?
A funny part of that is probably like being the primary caregiver of kids. As my older one becomes a driver, I'm like, whoo, suddenly I have like hours and hours back in my day. If you have teenagers or know what that's like, you're like, I'm an unpaid Uber driver. So I'm going to get 10 hours a week back for that. I would also pivot or at least pull back from one-on-one work. And it would be shifting to the group coaching or a course, like an ultimate type copywriting course. And then so I can focus on scalable activities that are also really fun, because, one-on-one work is great and meaningful, but there's just no more of my time.
Is Creative Gangsters just you?
It's just me plus some assistants here and there, but I'm doing the writing and I haven't been able to give that up yet. Everyone is like, I work with a productivity and organization expert right now. And she's like, you need to get a junior copywriter. But I'm like, I'm not quite ready to do that.
That's actually part of the reason I asked that is with every founder I've spoken to, there is this crossroads moment where the thing that they were doing that they were excited about, they can't continue to do all of them any longer. And they have to start to hand that off to someone else who may have an entirely different view of the work, have a different set of skills and so forth. And that quality oversight becomes an important piece. Not only the hiring of that person becomes important, but the oversight process of that. And plus, your clients are so used to you delivering the service. Are you nervous about that part going forward?
I am. And I know that that's a common thing of bringing somebody on because all I hear are the horror stories. But then there's good stories. Like Regina tells me, you are the good story. You know, like I'm making you a partner because I can't imagine life without this again. So I know that there's great people. And something I'm finding is I've got some co-working friends who are so great at what they do. Word of mouth and referral is so important. Like bringing somebody on contract. Hey, can I try you for 20 hours a month first? And I also have learned to structure things short term. Like, hey, let's give this a month rather than walk in saying with no end date. You can always extend it if it goes well, but to avoid hurt feelings and if things don't work out. I've tried, like myself, I've tried people out through Upwork and in higher end text broker, you know, things that are other copywriting. And it's not my standard. And so that's been a challenge. You'd have to teach somebody and train them. And be like, are you in, or are you going to learn and then leave? And I guess that's how it always is.
Right. And you know, so many people I talk to who have done really well in building their businesses got their start, maybe not so much in your case, but got their start when there weren't quite as many playbooks to follow, quite as many courses or platforms or what have you to trust to build their businesses, to build their course business, to build their digital products, what have you. And today, that's not the case. There are so many different avenues that you can follow for that. So for Beta and Beyond, especially, how does that factor into how you differentiate the offering that you and Regina have when there are so many options out there to learn how to build your own courses, to learn how to build a following, to build an online business? Is it tougher now than even just a couple of years ago? And if so, or if not, how does that factor into how you brand yourselves and how you offer your array of services?
Oh, Brandon, that's a great question. Because yeah, it's way harder now. Even 2 years ago, the market's saturated. We literally just reached out to our core audience. Regina and I have a pretty large email list with an offer. And a lot of people wrote back and said, you know what, we're pretty coursed out. You know, they've spent thousands of dollars on courses, not just with us, but with other people too. And they were great, but that's not what they wanted. So we have just done some internal discussions and realized we're going to give them what they need. And that's coaching. That's accountability and some mentorship, more one-on-one, and try to keep it as affordable as possible. It's not like a $25,000 mastermind, not by any means. And what we want to be known for is how to help people create events, what we call signature events, to grow their business. So beyond the webinar.
That seems like a new one. I don't think I hear about the idea of you. I've heard about people doing product launches, obviously, and building courses and so forth. But the idea of an event-driven business seems kind of different to me. I'm not sure I'm up to speed on that one.
Oh, good. Okay. No, I like that it's different to you. So people can grow their business through webinars, and that's very well known. Well, we're trying to go beyond just a webinar. So yeah, a webinar, framing it as a masterclass. Framing it as intimate group coaching or office hours, people, because these are people whose businesses aren't consistent revenue. They're part-time, those are after their work. So we're trying to help them grow it so that they can leave their job or have more freedom. A lot of people are terrified of webinars. I was. So here's some lower tech, less stress things to start. And so we want them to, based on their business model, figure out the type of event that makes sense. So we've got six that we talk about in one of our masterclasses. Like, and also the importance of the business model. Like, cause I didn't have a business model going in that had to form over time. And when you realize if you're selling a high-end done for you service, that person is not going to come sit to your 2-hour masterclass or webinar ever. That's not how they don't have time for that. That's not how you sell to them. So we want them to think about that first and then guide them through, hey, why don't you try this?
Do you feel like you can draw upon, I shouldn't frame this as a yes, no question, but how do you draw upon your background as with your, not your background, but your experience base with building Instagram accounts and building followings, connecting with people in that way? How can you draw upon that to add a personality to all of this as well? Because that seems like an important piece to me, that who I learn from is as much about their expertise as it is relatability. Like, I feel like their stories aligned with mine or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And do you mean for Regina and me as the presenters, or how we teach that to people? Okay.
How, yeah, for you, you know, for you and the audience and following and the type of clients and customers that you're trying to attract, first of all, but second of all, does that factor in also to what you teach people is how they can connect with their community?
Yes. More so starting with us, we have excessive personality disorder. Both Regina and I have big personalities and have a lot of fun. So yeah, we have to tone it down sometimes during when we train, but yeah, our audience expects that from us. I mean, and that's, we tone it down, because if we went all forth and be like, okay, we have to focus here, we got to deliver this content, and it's a lot of fun. So we don't take it too seriously. We take the outcome incredibly seriously. But the event itself, we try to always have it be fun for the participants, because we're asking them to give up 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Our masterclasses tend to run pretty long. We did one last night that we had to cut off at 2.5 hours. We're like, people need to go to bed. And then as far as teaching people, I try to teach people to work with their personality and their energy. So if you are an introvert, we do want you to get on camera, but you don't have to go do a big webinar. You start with an intimate group class, cap it at 6. And they're like, can I do that? Yeah. And you frame it as an intimate group training. So that way, if only 3 people show up, you're not embarrassed. Or if you're okay with going big or going home, then work with that. So that's something I like. That's important to me. And also,
it's like you factor in who the person is, as opposed to having them follow a very rigid, specific blueprint to things.
Yeah. And I have some friends who do subscribe to a particular webinar school of thought. Like, this is the perfect webinar. This is how you do it. And they talked to me afterwards, and she's like, I felt so icky when I got to the pitch part. I'm like, well, there's a way to pitch where you feel good and excited, and people are excited to buy from you. Because like, if somebody goes to buy a Lexus, they're there because they want to buy a Lexus. They don't feel icky that you're selling them something. So you just got to do it right, I think. So that's our whole goal, is to help people create freedom and get impact. And with Creative Gangsters, I kind of like to get the word out and messaging and shake things up a little bit. I'm a little gangster, even though I live in Idaho.
Can one be gangster and be in Idaho, really?
Yeah, because I'm from California. I brought it with me. You're
channeling your inner gangster in Boise.
And that's what I want everybody to do, really. You know, channel your inner gangster. Play a little bit by your own rules.
Even if you're a little bit Boise, if there's a little bit of Boise in all of us, but even if there is,
we have to blend those sides of ourselves.
So I'm excited that's important to you, because it does feel like there is increasingly a formulaic approach to the expectations of people that want to build online businesses. So a formula to the way you launch, a formula to the way you engage, a formula to the way you build a community, and that you take that into consideration, I think, is a really unique one. I don't know if that should be a part of your marketing, but the idea that you don't want things to be icky, I like that as well.
Oh, thank you. That's that classy. That's my way with words. What we call it is a humanized sales funnel, or the humanized approach to online business, non-icky. But the way we write, because you asked about personality, we do write that way. Our sales emails talk about the non-ickiness or not being sleazy. We enjoy the personality, because then people will open it. They want to read it.
Yes, I agree. And the way, just given how this conversation is going now, makes me go back and think of all the things I've read by you, and the voice is consistent. The voice is, there's a personality in the voice. It's not marketing copy over here, and then here's who Ali actually is when you communicate with her. There's a consistency there. That's great to see.
Thank you. And I had to learn that, because when I got my master's degree, I learned how to do academic writing. And it was really, once you learn that, you start writing like an academic robot. You're like, therefore, as you can see, based upon the following, the previous paragraphs, you should buy this. And I had to write like I talk. And that's also a good takeaway for anybody is, you know, if you're a bad writer, just talk it out. Use dictation and start practicing from there.
if you ever catch yourself writing "Thus We See," that a red flag should go off, right?
Actually, it's funny that you say that, because yesterday or 2 days ago was Shakespeare's birthday, so I did a tribute post to him, and "Thus We See," it was Shakespeare's birthday, so I did go off a little bit there.
Well, Ali, it sounds like you're excited about where Beta and Beyond is going, as well as Creative Gangsters. If you had to hedge if you had to put all your chips in and say, this is where things are going to be 3 years from now, you're going to be bold and say where you want to take things, what would that look like?
Beta and Beyond will be well-known and the place to go for people who want to go from either stay at home or their 9-to-5 that they want to leave. That's where you're going to go learn to teach how you can learn to share and create a smart business model that feels good.
And where will Creative Gangsters be?
I think it's pretty hard to kill Creative Gangsters, no matter what. I think it's going to be kicking and coming back in some form. I do imagine that will become more of an agency and bring on some people who share that vision and fun, and help people with their writing, because writing's hard for some people. I mean, it's hard for me even. It's hard for everybody.
It's a chore. It's an absolute chore. So you'll have the educational platform, which totally speaks to your past, as well as the agency services as well.
Yeah, I think humanizing and helping people find their voice for communication, not just writing. I use writing, but you know, like you write, you have to script out a podcast, you have to script out a Facebook Live. At least you should, at least talking points. And so we can help people learn how to do that. Anyway.
Well, you're already inspiring people. I'm excited about where you're going in the future. And thank you so much for hopping on and joining me today.
Thank you so much for reaching out and having me. I'm so excited. And if anybody wants to find me, they can stalk me online and we'll connect.
You now know the backstory of Ali Smith, founder of Creative Gangsters and co-founder of Beta and Beyond. Look her up via either of those names online or in Facebook. Coming up next week, we've got the witty and uber-talented Chris Ronzio, founder and CEO of Trainual. Huge props to my co-producer, Preston, who's also the leader of the Milo Mastermind community on Facebook, and our incredible assistant, Bilal, for helping put this episode together. We are a proud member of the Podglomerate Network as well, which features other shows like Rocket Ship, Not Skinny But Not Fat, The History of Stand-Up, Two Girls, One Podcast, and numerous other great ones. Thanks for listening, everyone. Catch me at Brandon Hull on Twitter if you like, and feel free to drop your rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We'll catch you next week on Freelance to Founder.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.